Welcome to our Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We pray today's message will equip you to do the work God has called each of us to do in our area of ministry. I look forward to seeing you here at church soon. Enjoy today's word.
I'm excited. This is probably one of the areas, there's a few areas that were just foundational for me in the starting of the church. And the reason why I just really felt like Christian Ministries needed to be in Southwest Missouri. And this was one of those things. So it just, that vision, that ministry helped teach me how to think right. There is a way that we think, and I'm just tired of God's people thinking that we're defeated. Because we're not. We're equipped to do great and mighty things here on planet Earth while we're here that benefits the kingdom of God. And so I want you to know, as pastor, one of my greatest loves for the call on my life is to help people succeed. Now, success has got to be measured based on the word, not based on what society says. But it hurts me when people fail in an area that I know that they were equipped to succeed in. They just didn't have the right thinking. Just defeated all the time. We've got to learn how to successfully think. Think successfully. So tonight we're talking about successful thinking. In my own life, I have watched people that highly impressed me in an area. And a lot of that growing up was musicians. I would watch musicians or I'd watch vocalists. And they were just some great examples in my life because they were dedicated to what they knew, and they talked about it all the time. You're not around a musician that they're not talking about music or talking about whatever instrument they're playing, and they're working on something, and they were good at it. And the one thing that all of them would always tell me, you can get good, you just have to make the investment and spend a lot of time. And I just remember those words. Time and investment. Time and investment. If I'm going to do anything, I've got to put time and investment in there. Whether I'm going to have a good marriage, whether I'm going to be a good grandpa, whether I'm going to be... See, whatever I'm going to do in life, I've got to put time and I got to invest there. And if you don't put time and investment in the right things and you wonder why things are falling apart, you can usually go back and say, well, I didn't put enough time and investment there. Money. People that have money. How in the world did they get that money? Now, hear this. I didn't look at heathens that had it. I was looking at God's people that was handling. And they, when there was something going on, I would know that they were behind it financially. And I've watched that, and I knew those people my whole life. Well, you start talking to them, and they're talking about where they invest and the time that they put in. And if you don't put time and investment in how to handle just some plain old money, then you're not going to be successful in areas of money. Tonight's a real practical message. But the people that I have watched in life that everyone loved to be around, you know what I learned about them? They spent their time and invested in people. People who like to be around someone, that someone has spent time and invested in being with people. It's just the way it works in all of life. So this year, we're building life here at Christian Ministry Church. That's our vision. And we've got to know, if you're going to build a life that's going to be effective for anything in the kingdom, you've got to be willing to make time, and you've got to take in that time and invest in the right areas. Prayerfully, as you're building life, you're spending time and investing in the things of God. That's important. That's important. And what I don't want to see as pastor is anyone fail to succeed in an area that they say they have vision in and they have a goal. You've got to know, if you have vision and you have a goal, then you'll have to have some time put in there and some investment made. The more you get excited about church will only happen after you've put some time and invested there. That's the way it works. And so I want you to know that your goal you have for life or vision in and of itself does not guarantee success. Well, I've got a goal. I got a vision. That doesn't guarantee success. Yeah. And what you have to know is there's some reasons why a lot of people fail to achieve a goal or vision. Let me give you these just real quick. Some 1, 2, 3, 4, 5s. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Number one, reason we fail to achieve a goal. We're trying to do something God hasn't asked us to do. See, I'm wanting to do this for the kingdom, and it was all my idea, but God had no play in it. You're trying to do something you're not gifted to do. Boy, I've spent a lot of time in my life right there. I tried to do something I wasn't gifted to do, and giftings will make a way for you. Just the way it is. The second thing, as a reason we fail, that I have written down here, is just we're not doing it God's way. Yeah, it may have been something God called us to do, but we went about it and we didn't use his plan. He has a plan for whatever he's given you a goal or a vision for. Number three, we get the steps out of order. Seems like this week, I have been visiting with people and they have a great plan and great goal, but their steps aren't going to get them there. See, you got to get the steps in the right order. And if you don't have your steps in the right order and you wonder why you're not getting, because you're trying to hit the fifth step and you've missed 1, 2, and 3. And then you try to jump over 4 and it's just not the way it works. You got to get your steps in order, which is sometimes a result of you lost vision, you start doing something else. Sometimes a result of you didn't research and know the steps, which leads me to number 4. You got to know how. You got to know how. Not doing it how it has to be done. Listen, most of life is not you reinventing a wheel. There's already been one. And so there is some opportunities for you to figure out how. It's important. I was in the parking lot last night at TJ Maxx way later than I wanted to be. And I was in the parking lot. Someone else was inside, I won't tell you who. But I'm sitting in the parking lot and I'm visiting with my son-in-law and we're just talking and we're enjoying conversation. And I said, "You've just got something I didn't have at your age." And he was like, "What's that?" I said, "YouTube. You don't even have to think. And a lot of times you got to go on there. And if you can see what YouTube tells you to do, you can do it." I said, it's just sometimes it's frustrating that you have that access that I didn't have. A guy sitting in a car right next to us had no idea he was even in there, has his window down, and says, "That's right, brother, preach it." I said, "I pastor a church. Could you come tomorrow night? I could use some of that." But we've got to spend time knowing how. Number 5 of reasons we fail is not staying committed. We can't stay in. We just give up, and there's a lot of reasons that happen. So tonight, as we talk about thinking successfully, I want you to know that this is not a get-rich scheme. This is not something that we're doing that's a self-help book. This is the Bible. Romans 12, verse 2. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If you don't renew your mind all the time, you will not prove his will. And if you're going to prove his will is for you to achieve what he's called you to achieve. He has a calling on your life. And if you don't renew your mind, it will remove you from proving his will. It's just that easy. Now, that's what exactly Romans 12, 2 says. Philippians 2, 12. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." And you've heard this. "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." This verse used to kind of freak me out as a kid. But the older I got, I realized, okay, this is God really teaching us something profound here. Work out your own salvation. In the NLT, it says, work to show the results of your salvation. See, how is that? Well, the Greek word for salvation here is soteria. Now, that's an important thing for you to know, because the word soteria means deliverance from temporal evils of this life that attack your mind. Work out your own deliverance. Work out your own, come on, hear me. Work out, you do this. Work out your own deliverance from the evils of this life that are attacking your mind. Boy, that's really good. That's good, Pastor. Preach that. That's good. See, we've got to work out how to get these things that are attacking our mind gone. God, I need your help. He's given you all the help. You have Jesus. So now you work this out. See, salvation of the soul is what it's talking about here, not salvation of the spirit. Temptations of this life are what attacks your mind. And we all have it. And we're attacked in a way that is wanting us, the enemy's wanting us to think wrong. So we've got to get some teaching that will allow our minds to be in a place that are set up for success. So therefore, we got to fight the attacks that are coming on our mind. And you've got to know that's why church is so important. Because it will equip you to be successful in areas of ministry, and it will reveal areas that are attacking you and give you some hope and some direction on how you can fight this. And that's what I want to do tonight. So a few points tonight on how to successfully think right, to be a successful thinker. Here we go. Number one, be a problem solver. Be a solution seeker. I'll say it like that. Because sometimes a problem solver sounds very worldly, but having a solution and finding that solution is what we are as God's people. I'm going to find a solution here. See, we're going to purpose in our heart to find a godly solution to whatever problems, because life has problems. And so many spend their whole life finding more and more of them. And you can tell me all of them, because everybody's got them. Every one of us. And if we want to just sit here and let me just talk about all my problems, I've got a bunch of problems. How cool would it be to say, how's things going? Oh, take a seat. Let me just tell you. It was hard to just draw my next breath. It's so hard. And we get into this mindset of, I am just under affliction. It's just horrible. What if you talk to someone that you know has some problems? How's it going? You know what? God is working all things together for my good. And what I'm telling you right now is he's given me some answers I didn't know I was going to have. And I just see you today, and I bet you have some of them for me. Here's some of what I'm thinking God's getting ready to do in my life. And instead of talking about all the things that are going wrong, you're talking about all things he's getting ready to do. It's just a different way. See, being a problem solver, you've got to know, if you're not careful and you don't think about solutions, then you're talking and thinking the problem. And what do we pray? We pray the problem. Oh, God, my head's hurting. God, thank you that I have water wherever I go. I can get it right out of a fountain. I can get it right out of the sink. And I know that most headaches probably come from dehydration. God, thank you. I got water everywhere. I'm fixing to be, I'm well. I'm going to be well. I know. See, life is just a compilation of choices. That's what it is. You're where you are today based on all the choices that you've made. Now, there's a few things that you didn't do to get where you're at. I get that. But how you're thinking is all just a whole bunch of choices that you've made. And that's why you're where you're at in your thinking. Now, I understand not everything was a result of a choice, but all your thoughts are. Well, Pastor, you don't know what all I've been through. You're right. I don't. But I can tell you, if you allow things to shape how you think, then you're not thinking of solutions, you're thinking of problems. Because things are problems. I mean, they just really are. Being set up this year to build life in Christian Ministries Church for 2026, we've got to know how to build it. And the way we do that is we find solutions. Let me give you an equals here. Success equals solutions. So if we're going to have successful thinking, we've got to be solution-based. The most successful people in all of life are the ones who solve their problems. Or they live on their way to solving it. See, the more problems that you get through in life, the more success you have. What do you mean? See, because successful people are people who solve problems. So the more problems that you solve, then wouldn't that equal more success? So, oh, there's another problem. Oh, here we go. Here's another problem. Or, you know what? I'm just getting ready to be more successful. Praise God. See, we don't think like that, but I'm telling you, life's a process of solving problems. Yeah. And before any great success story, there's usually adversity. Yeah. Adversity can steal your peace. Adversity can steal your joy. It can steal your direction. So how do we even begin to find a solution? Well, let's read Philippians 4, verse 6 through 8. It says, be anxious for nothing. Now, anxious here means having anxiety or stress. So don't have any anxiety or stress. Don't have that over nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I know you've heard that verse on a Wednesday night, group of people, you've heard it your whole life. Then why are you still having anxiety and stress all the time? This needs to be printed everywhere you are. Because there's always something that's true. There's always something noble. There's something just. There's something pure. Whatever things, there's something lovely. There's some good reports going on. There's virtue. There's praiseworthy. In every life there is. But we're real quick to say, nothing's going well here. See, we talk about worry. We talk about anxiety. But when we're talking about things that are counterproductive to our life, we need to be careful about some of our words here. Let me give you some words that may have came out of your mouth, and maybe you can go, oh, I can fix that. Have you ever said, I'm really scared or worried this is getting ready to happen? I'm just scared, I'm worried. When we are drawing a conclusion that here's who I am, and we can have a concern, but being scared and being worried, the first thing that you can know is your success is in jeopardy. Because your thinking is built around worry. It's built around fear because you're scared. And we've got to know our thinking is off and success is in jeopardy when we say, I'm just kind of scared and I'm worried. Now, some of you, as you grow spiritually, you start realizing that your thoughts have been wrong your whole life in a certain area. I'm just, so many things that I grew up thinking, and I'm like, okay, that was not godly. That wasn't a God path. That wasn't right thinking, and I got to quit thinking like that. Well, you know, when you really get that to that place where you know that thought is not godly, when that thought comes, you don't have to spend a lot of time judging it. You just completely go, that's the wrong thought, and it just goes, whew. It doesn't have any power there because you've already judged it and it's gone. So when it comes on again, you're like, okay, that's got to go. And you learn the more mature you get in the faith, what thoughts are not God thoughts. Well, I'll probably, if I do that, I'll probably fail. But you felt like God was calling you to do it. You got some backing from the word on it. And then you got scared. Talking to someone when God said, talk to him. Well, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can. I'll get somebody else. You're it. There ain't nobody else. God called you. And then we take a back seat and we go, well, I'm just kind of scared and I'm worried that they won't hear what I have to say. Did God tell you to do that? So we've got to get to a place where we judge that thought. Well, the more you start putting that thought behind you and God says to say something to somebody, you know what? You just go say it. Wow. Hey, God loves you. I used to just, I mean, it just would get me when I'd be in there, ask your waiter or waitress if they have anything they need to pray, they need prayer for. It's so hard. It is, but the more you do it, the more you can make that thought go away when, hey, anything going on in your life that we can pray for you about. We've done that countless times. Michelle, God will speak to her and say, hey, you need to, or we need to. We're one and we do. So we don't have to judge that thought. Oh, we probably better not. They might get offended. They might. Wait a minute here. What we're doing is we are making a solution, not trying to anyway. The solution is God every time. So, heart hurts and disappointments. We think hurt, and we think disappointed a lot. Prejudices, jealousy, despair. You're the only one on the whole earth that's had to deal with this. No one understands. I'm telling you, those thoughts will come, but you have to know those aren't God thoughts. What are you going to do with that? You bring it captive. People are just regularly depressed over their circumstances. And to get out of that wrong thinking, you've got to stay solution-minded. I'm going to seek a solution. When you see yourself successful in your thinking processes, you're motivated that direction. So count your blessings. Talk about what you do have in life, not what you don't have. Because if we're not careful, we're looking at what everybody else has. Well, they're 20 years older than you. You don't understand everything that they've gone through to be where they're at. And you're sitting here, okay, instead of that being a problem, let's make that a solution. I think I'd like to be where Jim and Sherry Ernest are one day. Mission trip coming up. Count me in. Well, I want to go. Yeah, you're 50 years younger than them. That's not that they're old. I'm just talking to the ones that are 50 years. But see, we look at them and nobody needs to be looking, and I'm using a really probably bad example. Nobody's downing them that they're able to do what they are, but don't think you can't one day be there. So the solution would be what? Let's go find out what they did to get there. See, there's some things that we can do. So let's move on to number two here. Actually, before I do that, let me give you just something if you want to write this down. You talk about what you don't have and depression will set in. A lot of people are depressed because you're only thinking about what you don't have. That can be in a mate. That can be in your house. That can be in your vehicle. That can be in your peace. You talk about what you don't have and depression sets in. Praise sets in when you talk about what you do have. Do you get that? Are we going to be depressed or are we going to be praising? Well, if you want to know how do I get to one of those? Well, if you want to get to depression, just talk all your time about what you don't have. You want to get into praising a little more, let's talk about what we do have. That's just the way life works. All right, number two, get input with your thinking. Get taught. Find a way to get some help with your thoughts. And one of the best ways is the Word. And another great way is the Word in people. You see the Word lived out by people. See, they may have info you haven't considered yet. A lot of you don't know this, but we weren't really able at the beginning of the coffee shop to figure everything out. And lo and behold, this guy walks into church that happened to own Schlotsky's, the sandwich shop. In fact, he's sitting right back here, Kenan Lamb. Hey, Kenan, you kind of know a little bit about making money in a restaurant. I don't need to make any money here, but we sure don't want to lose any. What do we need to do to make our coffee shop successful? I didn't really want to hear all he had to say. He overloaded me. He started talking about what our cups cost. I'm like, I have no idea. We just order them. Well, you're going to have to get an account of everything that you're ordering for this place. You're going to have to know what you're. And before long, we sat down and we did all that. How did that? I got some input, and we got in a different place than we would have been without God moving in someone else. He's got people in the church in your life, and the Bible says there's safety in a multitude of counsel. He wasn't the only one we went to. We called Mark Evans. We wanted to know from Mark, well, what'd you get a hold of Mark for? Because Mark owns a bunch of coffee shops around Russellville, Arkansas. What do you do? How do you do this? And I'm telling you, there was safety for this church in having a coffee shop and knowing that it can function and bless God's people and not be a strain on them, the church. Proverbs 11:14, where there's no counsel, people fail. But in the multitude of counselors, there's what? There's safety. So there's got to be a multitude of counsel. Now, okay, I'm going to go get some counsel. Be careful. Be careful. You need to know who to call. If you got ghosts, who you going to call? So you got to know what your problem is so you know who to call. Yeah. So I get that, but you're looking for a solution and you need to see someone who has already solved that problem in their life before you go to them for counsel. If you're having marriage trouble, the last person you go to is someone who's in severe marriage trouble. But that seems to be what the world does. They go to someone that can share their misery. And what you've got to know is you can't call a sympathizer to your problem. Someone who's just going to, oh, it's going to be, I know right where you're at. That whole thing that you're dealing with, I've been right there, and you're just going to have to live there just the way it is. Yeah, that's a real solution. See, you need to see that they've made it through there. A lot of people give advice based on an opinion. Opinion's fine as long as I know it's an opinion. But when they start trying to say this is what God says, then you better make the word shine. It needs to come out. Because if it comes against the word, it's wrong counsel. God set up quick and easy counsel, and it's one of the main reasons why I think the church is such a significant part of everybody's life. Because there is counsel, because there's a lot of people that have had problems in the church, and there's also a lot of people in the church that have overcame those problems. And when they did, then that would be a safety in your multitude of people. So before I go and get any counsel, let me tell you, there were times that I wanted to motivate my kids in the coaching season. And I wanted to motivate them. So I think I'll send my kids to talk to someone. Well, you've got to know that before I sent them to talk to someone, I talked to those someones. Not to move their thinking, but to make sure their thinking was godly before I sent my kids to have a conversation with them. So when I taught my kids this principle of surround yourself with godly counsel, I made sure I would send them to godly counsel. Well, you need to talk to your teacher about this. Do you know the teacher that you're having to talk? You need to have a talk with your teacher about this. Is their teacher godly counsel? I don't know if you're getting this or not, but this is just, you've got to get input with your thinking. God set it up and he has it available. So the first question you ask is your counsel that you're going to go get advice from living biblical in the area that you're seeking counsel in. Are they living biblical there? And do they have fruit? Is it working for them? Because if you're going to go to somebody and it's not working for them and you want their ideas to help it work for you and it's not working for them, that was something you should have never brought up. The gifts Christ gave the church should be an avenue real quick for you to get equipped and get correct counsel. I'm just telling you, I love teaching these concepts because they're all biblical and it helps us live the life God's called us to live on Monday morning, on Thursday morning, on Friday. Every day of your life, God's word is impactful. It's not just a history lesson. If God tells you in 2 Corinthians 13 to prove someone is in sin, it needs to be confirmed by two or three witnesses. That's scripture. Yeah. Then I can take that verse and I can go, okay, I've heard God on these things. Well, if I've got to get confirmation from others, whether or not there's sin, why wouldn't I want confirmation that this is God's path? So let me get two or three witnesses, that's the multitude of counsel, that says, yeah, this is God. However, here's what we're in danger of. Well, God told me. Truth is, God told me, that's why I'm doing it. Have you talked to anyone? Nope, God told me to. God told me to do it, I don't need to ask anyone. Oh, I get you, Proverbs was wrong. That principle just needed to be taken out of them. God told me, I don't ever do that. When God told me, there ain't nothing you can say because they're saying, I don't need any advice. I don't need any counsel. So be real careful when you say, God told me, that you have already said, and God's people affirmed it. Those two go hand in hand according to Scripture. So truth is, God told me and he affirmed it through his people. So when I go talk to someone, here's what I believe that God has been impressing on my heart, and I want to make sure I'm not missing anything. I know you've been there. Would you help me think this through? Here's my thoughts. And then when they affirm that, here we go. But when you just take off without a multitude of counsel, then the Bible says you're not safe. And I want to be safe. See, I just want to stand on what God told me and get it backed up and affirmed. I don't know if I'm making sense, but I think you're hearing me. See, you ever heard someone say, you can hang a hat, you can hang your hat on that guy. You can just hang your hat on that. That's an old phrase. I know that. But what they're saying is, that guy's dependable because what he's going to say works. It's a big statement, and I want them to be able to say that about God's people. And you do that through successful thinking. Number three. If you can't be offended, you can't be defeated. Hang out here for just a second. If you will be offended, you will suffer defeat. You know, several years ago, I learned something about offense. It's actually a natural thing that happens. It comes on us, and sometimes it's on us before we realize it. Now, it's not a good excuse, but I'm just telling you, it happens to all of us. Offense comes and you're like, well, it is a thought, and you'll have to make a choice with what you do with it once it comes there. And so when it comes, it helped me to think of it like this. Offense to me is giving someone else control over my emotions. See, offense to me is allowing someone else to control my thinking, even if it was the opposite direction. They sent me somewhere, and I gave them permission to be in my head. Now that's how I think about it, because it allows me then to deal with that when it comes into my head. Ooh, that hurt. That made me mad. Oh yeah, that did something. Wait. That did that to me? Why did I allow that to overrule what God's done for me? I've got to teach myself continually that God is in control of my life and my mind, not someone else. Now I got to do something with what was said, though, when I don't agree with it, or when they did something that I was not okay with, because when they say or do something that we didn't expect to be said or done, and we're like, okay, it didn't get me. It didn't get me. I took that thought captive, and it didn't get me. Okay, so you're just going to leave it there and act like nothing happened then. No, you got to deal with it. Now, here's how you deal with it. You got to take it to the Lord. All right, Lord, I'm seeking a solution here. Yeah. I'm not offended. I'm not mad. So what I need to know is, did I need to hear that or do I need to pray for these people? Because it's one of the two. Yeah. I either needed to hear it, I need to be okay with what they did, or I need to pray for them. And in prayer, you'll give me some type of solution that can help this. Because my process right now is not going to be based on them controlling my mind. You control my mind. Because I made a choice to give you that control. Other thing that's helped me with offense is hurting people hurt others. And we take offense because someone else hurt us. That person hurt us. And what you don't realize is they're hurt. You ever dealt with an animal that's hurt? A sick cow will get you way quicker than a well cow. For you that aren't farmers, a dog that's been hit by a car, you better watch picking it up. He'll bite you. So that's a little easier for you to understand. Well, let's bring that same thought over to people. People that will hurt you often are times people that are hurting. So don't get in their hurt. It's important. I've been attacked by people who are really only responding out of the last church they were in. Bless their heart. I hate the way you were treated. And I know that felt just the same. And so now you're lashing out trying not to get hurt again. I've seen it. Why were they so mean? Because they were hurt. You know, sometimes we were the ones that hurt them, but it wasn't oftentimes intentional. When you're trying to hurt someone else, it's pretty evident by everyone else, and you can get two or three witnesses, come on, and they can call that sin. Go right back to 2 Corinthians. So, offense comes on, we don't agree, we either need to hear it or we need to be praying for them, and in praying for them, you'll get a process. It's that easy. I got to go on to number four. Number four, and the last one I'm doing today, you have to forgive. You have to forgive. Well, how? I don't know how. Because unforgiveness holds you in bondage. Not the person you're not forgiving. It holds you in bondage. We make our mind get to a place where you forgive in advance. And that's a place that takes a lot of maturity. I have forgiven a lot of times so that I didn't have to live in bondage myself. I mean, that was one of the reasons. Because the issues real quick come up, and then you hurt somebody because you're hurt, because you were done wrong. Now, let me just make this real practical. If someone writes you a hot check, don't take another one. I'm not talking about forgiving and then putting yourself in the same situation. And so you forgive them, and you don't forget so that you don't make the same mistake, and that is not unchristian. You need to know that. That's good sense. But why we forgive is not just so that we don't live in bondage, it's so that we can be forgiven, because we all are in desperate need. Matthew 6:14. Jesus said, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Ooh, that's just such a big statement. Wow. If you refuse to forgive others, well, I just can't forgive them. Don't ever say that. Because you just said something that put God against you. We all need his forgiveness. Therefore, we have to forgive. A lot of the body of Christ doesn't know how to forgive. So let me tell you how you do it. Here's how you forgive. You forgive people just like you receive anything else in the kingdom. And that's by faith. Let's talk this through. We believe in the heart and we confess with our mouth. When they wrong you and you deal with enough people, eventually you will be wronged. But just as you were forgiven of wrongdoing, it was by a choice that God forgave us. He chose to and sent his son to take care of the debt. And we didn't deserve it. And the person that you're needing to forgive may not deserve it. Everybody hearing this? So you make a choice to forgive, not by their deserving, but by your choice. So you choose. And then with your mouth and your actions, you speak forgiveness. It comes out of your mouth. I forgive, and then you put the name of that person there. Lord, I forgive them for not speaking to me. Lord, I forgive them for what they said to me that they shouldn't have said. I forgive them. In the name of Jesus, I believe in my heart. I believe in my heart that they are not going to be held captive by me in my life. I have forgiven them. I believe in my heart that's going to be, and I say it out of my mouth. I'm confessing with my mouth. They are forgiven. And then when a thought comes, what you said out of your mouth should not make you a liar. They're forgiven. And you don't hold them captive. You forgive by faith, just like you receive by faith. It's a big deal. We have to think right. You receive by faith, not because of what you feel, but because of what he did. That's the way we receive. And you, through faith, can forgive based on what he did. Pastor, are you into this mind over matter thing? No, because the mind does matter. So you need to know that I'm not trying to put our thought processes into a spiritual authority. I'm taking a spiritual authority and putting it over our thought processes. That's what I'm doing. Forgiveness does not reestablish trust. So know that. But it does allow love to be present. Come on, think that through. Forgiveness doesn't reestablish trust. I can love someone who I've forgiven, but that doesn't mean I trust them. Love is freely given, but trust is earned. I say that all the time. You may have heard trust is earned, respect is given, and loyalty is demonstrated. You can lose all of these if any of them are compromised. And you need to know that. But love is not to be taken away because love was freely given. Therefore, we freely give it. And you can love your enemies. In fact, the Bible doesn't suggest it. It commands it. So, did you get that tonight? Be a problem solver, a solution seeker. Get counselor input in every part of your life so that you can think right there. You cannot be defeated if you will not live offended. And forgiveness in life is mandatory if you're going to think right and think successfully. Many Christians think everyone's out to get them. Everybody's just out to get me. Let me tell you, there is an enemy, and there's a lot of people that are being used by him. And you can know that there's one person out to get you. And he uses a lot of people to do that. I get that. And some have built their life knowing that they are the victim because everybody's out to get them. But let me tell you, there was one that was out to get you. And praise God, he got you. And you're a Christian, and you can have successful thinking, and you can live determined to receive what God says is ours. And that's how we're going to live, and we're going to be successful thinkers at Christian Ministries Church. Y'all stand with me this evening.
I hope this message encouraged you, strengthened you, and hopefully even challenged you a little bit. And if it did, I want to encourage you to like it, share it, or even send it to somebody who you know needs to hear it. Help us get the message of Jesus out to as many people as possible. And to our Christian Ministries family, we're so thankful that you're with us today. Thank you for all you do here to advance His kingdom. And if you're not a part of Christian Ministries, but you want to know more about what God is doing here, you can go to our website, cmchurch.net. Or you can message us on social media, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and may the Lord bless you.